You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So Netflix decided to get into the game of the Taylor Swift cinematic universe because this is the sequel to the previous movie that's going to launch her into like a Marvel level cinematic style because it's Miss Americana, like Captain America, right?
Right. Yeah, the first one was came out in like New Year's. It was like New Year's Day last year. It was the Reputation tour.
So she's the January type. She likes to do the stuff early in the year.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, hopefully people have nice things to say about it, I guess. Yeah, I mean, you know how it goes with January releases. I'm just saying, average, other than, what, Bad Boys for Life and a few other things, most January releases are kind of terrible.
Well, it's a January Netflix, or was this in theaters, too?
So, okay, for people who don't know, this movie, Miss Americana, actually premiered in Sundance first. That was the big debut for it. And then that's where it moved into its Netflix releases, so...
I heard from acclaimed documentarian of 5 Feet from Stardom, right?
Oh, 20 Feet from Stardom, yeah.
Oh, it's 5 Feet.
Which I believe she also did some other documentaries, because the director here is Lana Wilson. So I don't think she actually directed that one. That was a producer on it. But this director here, she did After Tiller and The Departure.
Okay. Hmm. I haven't seen those.
Never heard of those.
Yeah, I have not either, so I couldn't tell either way. But After Tiller was a big documentary that won an Emmy for the documentary prizes and that stuff. And then The Departure, I guess, was a Japanese punk rocker turned Buddhist priest story.
Whoa. I'm intrigued. All right.
That's already intriguing just from the premise. So naturally, when you do from that, you go to Taylor Swift movies.
Of course.
You go from obscure, interesting character studies to Taylor Swift.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the producer is Morgan Neville, who did 20 Feet from Stardom. So okay. That's the okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. But yeah. So other than just being about Taylor Swift, what is this movie about?
I mean, it's basically it goes through her the main years of her career. It starts out like from her first album in I want to say 2007, 2006, 2007. It goes through like. Every few years, like she's like, it's like, oh, she's 17 now, and then oh, she's 22, and then it kind of has her narrating her whole kind of experience through it. It's a lot of her like struggles throughout her life, and then like I guess right when she started getting into politics, like a year or two ago, and then it's kind of just like a lifelong study of her her albums, I guess.
Okay, yeah, because I know. The big one that they say they address in this movie is her most recent album, Lover, that came out, right? Mm-hmm.
Now, do either of you listen to her music still?
Not particularly. Like, I've seen her music videos, and my thing with Taylor Swift is that I actually respect Taylor Swift as a business person. That sounds like a backhanded compliment, because I'm like, no, what she did for streaming and digital rights stuff for online music downloads is actually really impressive, you know, when you look through the history of that. Her music, it's... fine. It's catchy. It's light. It's poppy. There's a couple songs I like, but I don't like find myself going, "Hey, I want to listen to Taylor Swift all the time."
No, and I'm going to elaborate on what you said. She's phenomenal when it comes to her brand, her business, her albums, her tours, and that was done incredibly well to show. Sometimes, you know, we all want to believe that there's a talent in us and that talent's going to shine on stage and we'll say, we belong here. We were born to do this. Not Tay-Tay Swift. She works her ass off to get on that stage. And I really liked that about the first documentary. This one, they don't really get into that, though, unfortunately.
Oh, well, with all the high-profile stuff that says on the synopsis here, how could they not get into the more dramatic or interesting stuff? Like, what's the big issue then?
Max?
I guess the big issue is, like, it really revolves kind of around her Reputation album when, like, all the media started being a complete asshole to her, and then she just kind of disappeared for a year and wrote this Reputation album, and then she started finding love, and then she realized she actually had a voice and everything she wanted. Before, she just kept silent about pretty much everything, and she just kind of, like, she'd go on the Ellen Show and just talk about whatever and not bring up any politics or anything. And then it kind of is a character study on her being able to actually talk about what she wants to talk about in public.
Well, yeah, because she mentions about her eating disorder, apparently, that sexual assault trial that happened, her mother's cancer diagnosis, and then on top of the politics stuff as well, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really know anything about that. Like, I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan, because it was kind of a weird look back on my life, too, because I remember listening to her from her first album. Every time another album comes out, I remember exactly where I was at that point. Like, first year of college, I remember this album coming out, and then I went to the Reputation tour in 2018 that the first movie was based on. Well, it wasn't really a movie. It was just kind of the whole concert at once. That was bad.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on going to this Lover tour thing in the middle of summer this year. So she's probably my favorite singer, but I didn't really know anything about her personal life.
See, and I think maybe that's where I get lost, because when it comes to famous celebrities' personal lives, I'm not really interested unless there's something dynamic or scandalous.
Well, there has to be like something truly outstanding or truly scandalous, like you said. Like, yeah, oh, which, you know, makes Harrison me feel... Ford rescued a bunch of people from a fire. That's really cool and less interesting to learn about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Now, with Taylor Swift, like you were saying, the way you were telling it, Max, that does sound pretty intriguing. I personally had no idea she disappeared for a year to redefine herself. I have no idea what the difference between her new music and her old music is. When it switched from country to pop, I had to be told, because they both sounded very similar to me.
Well, I mean, country nowadays sounds like pop anyway, so...
And you're right, I don't know much about country music. Like, I brought up Tim McGraw earlier, and just in the chat, like, how old
Tim McGraw
is
more
me?
Country than the country we get nowadays.
Yeah, but what is that, like a 30-year-old career? Anyways...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even really know much about Tim McGraw at all. I have no idea who this dude is. Right?
But see, now you talk about him, you want to learn more about him.
would I have the same issues?
I did think it was cool because this Lover tour she's doing, she's starting in, I guess it's like going like cross country, it's going out of the U.S. for a while, and then she's doing like the first show at that new stadium in L.A., the one they're building right now for whatever football team that is.
Go sports team.
Yeah, whatever that Raiders. Is. Yeah, but she's doing like the first show, like the first day they open, they're doing the first show, and then like apparently Tim McGraw's playing there like a month later. I was like,
that's
interesting. She's probably way bigger than that dude ever was anyway.
Yeah, what she's done for the music industry is astronomically impossible to do again, but somebody will. Yeah. I know someone always does it again. That's where,
but,
you know, I kind of felt silly watching it, like, wow, she's been a pop culture icon for over 20 years. How did I miss that, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, and that's the interesting thing for me is, like, I didn't miss it at all because I was following her the whole time. But and then I realized, I'm like, shit, it's been a really long time since I was in high school. I was like, oh, no, because she's like, oh, I'm about to turn 30. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm about to turn 32. And I start getting depressed. I'm like, oh, no.
No, that's not old. You're fine. Well, you're both good.
It's not old. It's just a number. The number's weird.
Yeah, like, but we're already about halfway through even just the initial part of the review, and it's interesting because you guys haven't said a lot about what you feel is really great or bad about this movie. I know that this is actually getting a fairly good response on Rotten Tomatoes. It's at 92% positive. Even admitting that people are like, it's engaging, but a little, the way they put it is opaque, where it's like, it's not exactly incredibly insightful or incredibly unique. Is that kind of what you guys feel about this?
Yeah, I think it's hard to actually like review it as a movie / documentary, because it's like if there's like somebody, a girl you have a crush on, you don't really care what she does. You just want to like watch her talk about whatever she's doing for 2 hours.
I don't know about that movie, but Taylor Swift gets a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 10 out of 10 Taylor Swift. I don't know about the movie, but I just liked her talking about shit I didn't know about for 2 hours. Or I guess it was an hour and a half. It was a pretty short movie, but it was. I saw it on opening day at Alamo Drafthouse. It was like full house, packed. Everybody clapped at the end and everything.
And then, oh, I'm sure it's going to do good numbers on Netflix for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I saw it again at the Alamo Drafthouse 2 days later, and it was a desert. There was nobody there.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, here. After its release, it is now the highest rated Netflix original biographical documentary in IMDb history, apparently. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. People are going to watch this in droves no matter what we say.
Yeah. It's just, dude, if you're a Taylor Swift fan, like, it doesn't matter what the content is. You're going to watch it anyway.
Okay. Bradley.
No, I agree with that. I mean, if you love Tay-Tay Swift, do people actually call her that, or?
No.
You just did.
a little Tay-Tay.
Yeah. The most interesting part of this for me is that it wasn't interesting. Like, she has these thoughts and ideas, and she kind of relates it to her own life, like, oh, well, when I'm famous, I realize I have no privacy. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of neat. Everybody realizes they have absolutely no privacy eventually. Especially because of the world we live in. And then, you know, when she talked about the body imaging that, you know, hurt her and made her have an eating disorder, I thought, hey, that's incredibly relatable, what she's saying. You know, so many people do struggle with that. And the weird thing about it was, but this is also Taylor Swift. She's an international superstar. So at what point does she truly get to be her real self and not her brand?
Like, the film doesn't really manufactured kind of thing.
Yeah, and the film doesn't really explore that. But should it? I know I say that a lot when I review documentaries, the phrase, should it explore that? Because if interviewing her, I'd be like, okay, come on, let's see the real you. Point, none of the on camera. The problem
is that, you know, Taylor Swift, you know, for as open as she wants to be, she clearly doesn't want to get too open that would give fodder for people to criticize her or cause controversy, because that does happen, you know, with these kind of things.
Oh, absolutely. That the part of this documentary that really got cringy is when she did talk about her haters, because my first thought was like, oh brother, celebrities always talking about how they have haters. And then it goes through this montage of these horrible, just disgusting tweets about her and how she's fake and a phony and a loser. And then Bill O'Reilly's crooked ass comes on screen and says, she should be slapped. And I'm like, what the hell?
And then Trump comes on. He's like, I like her music 25% less now.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, I had no idea that was something she endured. I thought everybody always liked
problem.
Her.
We don't understand her. We don't like her.
There is no way she can shake off the hate. Total fraud.
I can tell you how to shake it off.
Oh. Yeah, that's the whole thing about, yeah, all of her like hate comments and stuff is like literally every single, even YouTubers get that shit. You just, like, every single person that is in the public has haters.
Yeah. I mean, if Jimmy Kimmel's like mean tweets thing teaches you anything, people can always find a reason to hate somebody.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, Jimmy Kimmel was in this movie too, and it was like double chin Jimmy Kimmel from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, he
showed up. He's like, this brand new singer Taylor Swift is getting some flack because Kanye showed up and did something.
Yeah, and I thought that maybe it would explore that, how we finally, some people sooner than others, realized that Kanye was being a bully. And bullies rarely see repercussions, especially when they're famous and make a ton of money. And, in my opinion, happen to be brilliant songwriters. I do think Kanye does have that gift and that talent.
Sure. I mean, there's lots of smart people who are also complete bullies or jerks or a-holes.
Yeah, and that sucks.
That's not exclusive.
That completely sucks. And for her to carry that for 9 years, I think it said, damn, that sucks. But they didn't really explore it, just that she was like, it hurt my feelings and I have had to live with that for so long. And I'm like, tell us how you got over it. Tell us how you shut your haters up. And she kind of didn't. And I'm not sure if maybe I wasn't listening. Max, what did you get out of that? Her redefined self, I guess, is what she was saying.
No, same thing as you. I just, I thought it was interesting because I remember when that happened, like, I was watching the awards on TV, and, like, he showed up, and I was like, okay, so then a couple days later, it turns into an internet meme, the whole, like, Kanye thing, I'm gonna let you finish, and then everybody talks about it for 10 years, but, I mean, I didn't know it messed with her that hard.
Yeah.
And until she talked about it, and then, she never really explained, she never really said anything about, like, how she got over it. It was just kind of like, oh, yeah, exactly what you said, like, Kanye really messed with me and made me depressed for a while, and it kind of ruined my life because, like, my whole life is based on everybody liking me, and I thought the crowd was booing at me, not him. And then that's about it. And then it went, and then it showed some clips of like Kanye saying "fuck Taylor Swift" during his concert recently. And then after that, it was pretty much over. And then they skipped on to the next thing.
Well, that's terribly not informative.
Yeah, and the kind of the whole documentary was set up that way. Like she'd say, "When my mom got cancer, I was so upset," and I'd be, you know, "Whoa,
yeah.
That is heavy, and that is such a hard thing, especially because her mom was." And is, her mom's fine and alive, but she's young, you know, and she's still a vibrant woman and cancer, but then suddenly, and that was that, and we're moving on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, we got sushi now, and there's a giant dog here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That was funny, because, like, yeah, her mom was talking about how when she got cancer, she got this gigantic cancer dog, and then they go to her house, and then the dog's, like, barking around, jumping on everybody, and Taylor Swift's face is just like, "Oh, I fucking hate this dog." Yeah. She just, like, looks away. She's like, "Oh, damn it."
That was a huge dog.
So, with the way you're saying that they brushed over the Kanye stuff, do they do that with stuff like the sexual assault trial and the other things, too, or?
They kind of do. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, kind of. The sexual assault trial discussion was kind of the catalyst of going into her, like, her introduction into politics. Because that's probably the last half an hour of the whole thing where it starts going to the sexual assault trial. And then she talks about how she was just in... She had to do the trial in Denver. And then everybody here in Denver is like, "Oh, shit." Everybody's like, "Oh, no, they're talking about us." But then, so it goes from that, from the sexual assault trial, into her whole thing talking about, like, women's equality. And then this, like, women, some senator in Tennessee that she wanted to lose. And then she put herself into the ring. And that's the rest of the last half an hour of the movie is her... getting, well, I guess the last 5 minutes is about her new song, but she didn't really talk much about the whole sexual assault thing. It just kind of brought the story into how she's talking about politics a little bit.
Yeah, she
doesn't really talk about politics
right
in general anyway. She's just like at the VMA, she's like, "Yeah, you guys should vote on that thing next week." That's really about the extent of what she said.
Really, that part of the documentary, to me, was just highlighting how ridiculous, again, the media gets about celebrity opinion. Like, her opinion on politics is, get involved, go vote. And these news outlets and comedians are like, "Oh, stay in your lane, Swift. You're no politician." It's like, guys.
I mean, on the other hand, that's literally what everybody says is go out and go vote. It's like, wow.
Yeah, like, it's good advice, guys. I mean, I don't know if you think she hates your candidate, but what's going on? Why are you trying to tell someone who wants young people to vote to not vote? And I'm sure that goes into a bunch of other conspiracies Alan can tell us about. I don't know.
I don't want to listen to that stuff. But
it says she has like 120 million Instagram followers, so it's like anything she posts is going to be, and everybody's going to see it immediately, and she starts freaking out about what she's going to post next.
Yeah, well, fair I enough. Do think it's rude when people say, "Oh, stay out of politics." Like, please don't. If you have an opinion on a politician, don't share it if it's going to get you hate and you don't want to deal with that hate. But if you can handle it, share it. You know, it's your right to. You live where you live. And if you have the right to vote, you have an absolute right to speak your mind about issues. And
well, I'm sure Kathy Griffin will tell her to not condone saying that they should murder the president because,
just
like, that's exactly what I mean. And Kathy Griffin, she used her voice and made a big fool of herself. But let's not act like celebrities don't have just as much right to make fools of themselves or actually make good points. I hate it when people are told to stay in their lane when they have the right to vote is all. And again, I don't know why I'm going into this rant because the documentary sure as hell didn't go into anything deeper than people should vote. So anyways. Yeah.
So why don't we start to wind down a bit here since we're almost at 20 minutes. But I mean, is there anything you can say about the filmmaking itself? I know it's hard to judge filmmaking for documentaries, but you'd say it's still pretty well produced and everything else other than that?
Yeah. I mean, it looked great. The shots were good. A lot of it was her in her studio recording something or in her bedroom talking about stuff and then kind of spliced with, like home movies from when she was like 15 and shit.
Okay.
It looked good. There's nothing, I mean, there wasn't anything bad or good. It was just kind of there.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, I don't expect something to be like, "Oh my gosh, this is the most amazingly made documentary ever." But as long as it's still solid, that seems to be fine. So.
Yeah, it wasn't any like millionaire YouTuber kind of like trying to make a a feature film, another daily vlog type of thing with drones and shit. it was more of like candid shots that happened to be like in like really high quality 4K.
Okay, no, I mean that's Netflix for you. They only shoot things in 4K, so yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess if that's most everything else, I mean, any final thoughts to start leading into your final rating?
I could start with the final thoughts.
All right.
It's fine. I didn't know much about Taylor Swift before, other than her incredible work ethic and passion for music. And this rings true here. That does ring true, because she's always busy with someone talking about her next song and how it should sound, and playing the piano. And those are the fun parts. Honestly, the best shot in this whole movie is her, like, casually... Well, it seems casually to the untrained eye. I'm sure there's a bunch of musicality going on, but she's just strumming her piano, maybe doing some arpeggios, and this adorable little kitten runs over her hands and is like, meow. Like,
so the, like wow. This... The first 30 seconds of it.
Yeah. All downhill from there. But I loved that shot. But I think maybe that's also why I'm not quite sold on what this was trying to say. Because, yeah, that was adorable, but was that manufactured? So, if this was to show us the real Taylor Swift, I have absolutely no idea if we've met her yet. But that's also kind of fun in an existential kind of what is anybody's identity kind of way. It wasn't boring, and it was fast. I'm just upset I really don't know much of anything other than the memes I already knew and that Kanye's a jerk. So, I'm giving this, let's go, 7 kitty cats on 10 grand pianos.
Okay, no, that's fair enough. Max.
Yeah, just from the opposite side, as a huge Taylor Swift fan, knowing everything she's done, like I said earlier, it was a weird kind of look back into my life, like we're at different places I was at during the years where her albums came out, and I just remember going to work out the first year of college and listening to her, her second album or whatever. I thought, yeah, it doesn't really say anything. But it's a really cool kind of like look into her life, and like some if you have a crush on somebody, you're like, okay, I'll watch them talk for like 2 hours or an hour and a half. And is the parts I really liked were kind of the behind the scenes of how she wrote her songs, like the Reputation tour. I listened to that album a lot, like right before I even went to the concert. And this whole new Lover album, which is really good. I just thought it was really cool seeing her like write these songs, and then she like. The last bit of the documentary was her writing the brand new song that came out like the second she released the documentary, she released that brand new song at the exact same time.
Oh wow.
And I've already listened to that song like 30 times in like a week. So I was like, it's just cool seeing all this weird behind the scenes stuff. So I'm not even going to give it a score like for the documentary, cuz like I'm too biased to actually give it a score, but it's 10 out of 10 Taylor Swift for the experience.
All right. Could I ask, what's your guys' favorite Taylor Swift song?
I'm bad at favorite songs I went to an Ariana Grande concert, and there some girl asked me like, what's your favorite song? I'm like, I don't know, dude. My favorite Taylor Swift thing is the Reputation album.
Okay.
And I really like that one song. I think it's called Love Story, the one that was in Band Hero in like 2008. That song's good too.
Yeah, I kind of fall back on like just Shake It Off as a good like easy listening song for Taylor Swift because I hear it everywhere. So I'm just like, okay, that's a good one.
Oh, something I forgot to mention real quick.
Oh yeah.
I always thought it was kind of weird how like she was like incredibly skinny every time you saw her, and then I went to the Reputation tour and she wasn't skinny anymore. But like, I mean, she was skinny, but she wasn't like deathly like twig sick looking. And the movie kind of goes into that, like talking about her her eating disorder. Yeah, she looks way better now at a normal weight than she did when she was like twig skinny.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that is good to hear. They brush past that part so fast.
Yeah, like she's like hugging somebody, and you can see like her spine is like sticking out. I was like, damn, I always knew she was like extremely skinny, but I didn't realize she was like eating disorder.
Yeah,
skinny.
I just thought she was tall. I had no idea she went through that.
Yeah, but yeah, she looks much better at a normal weight.
Great, that is great.
Yeah,